Thank you. It's a very great privilege and honor to be here this morning. For those of you who don't know me, and I met some of the gentlemen sitting behind us this morning, nice to meet you. I am actually the chief medical examiner for the island. And what's that?
Jeff, I forgot to mention Children's Church.
Oh, Children's Church, sorry. Yeah, Children's Church is fine. If you want to go, kids, get out of here. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. So I also have a side job in a way as an ordained pastor, minister. I've been a pastor before and a Master of Divinity Seminary graduate. So if you give me the opportunity to speak, you might regret it because, you know, most pastors do like to speak a lot. And so this morning, I thought we'd go over all 500 verses or so of love in the Bible. So if you have your Bibles, you can get them out. And if you don't have anything to do for the next 12 hours, we'll be going over the short topic of love in the Bible. And so, but I really, as I talked about last time you saw me, I was here, I talked about faith. And what I like to do is kind of take these concepts that are really big concepts, and sometimes we can apply to them a definition or a process that is not super helpful for us, and it can be confusing. So I'm going to try to boil down love a little bit based on some verses in 1 John chapter 4. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, I lift this time up to you. I ask that you give us the ability to now worship you with our minds and worship you with our attention. As we focus on your word, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be redeeming unto you, our Lord, and let them be really a fruitful offering. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, we're going to be covering verses 7 through 21. But not right now, but just as a little, by a little bit of introduction, this concept of love, I think, can be very difficult sometimes. I think what Kim alluded to, sometimes we look in the mirror in the morning and I'm like, I don't think I have it in me. You know, I don't think I'm ready to love people. And I think part of the problem sometimes is, oh, you can take the verses off. I don't need the verses on the screen. It's a little distracting. Thank you. We're gonna go through that in a minute, but there are some things that I think make it difficult for us because we look at love as like a verb. I have to love people, you know, and so sometimes I feel like I'm not ready to do that. And then there's like there's some verses in the Bible that says love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that's the golden rule or the second law essentially, and but sometimes I don't even love myself. So how can I love other people in the way that I'm supposed to love myself? I'm not even sure what that means. Am I supposed to love them? In what way do I love myself? You know, sometimes I'm just not happy. And sometimes I love myself too much. I feel proud or arrogant, and that's not helpful. And then there's another verses that Jesus says about love one another as I have loved you. And I'm like, well, that's not possible because Jesus is a model we aspire to, but we're never going to reach that. So I have these kind of verses in my mind. And then I have some secular and Christian songs out there that, I don't know, it's kind of dating myself a little bit, but y'all know who DC Talk is, you know? And they had this song out in 1992, I think it was Love is a Verb. It was a big kind of hip-hop type of song, you know, and really catchy. It was all about things that you do. It's about love as a verb. You have to demonstrate love to people. And if you're not into, you know, Christian music, John Mayer had a song in 2012 about love being a verb, you know, and how you demonstrate your love to people. And man, that can be like really exhausting sometimes. Sometimes I'm just not ready to love people. And frankly, my wife can attest to this. I really don't like people. She's raising her hand back there. yeah, sometimes I feel like I just really don't like people, let alone love them. So, I mean, how can I get to the point of loving people when I don't want to? You know, I'm busy, I'm tired, a lot of us are really stressed. So I think, you know, there's one verse that we kind of all are familiar with. It's Psalm 46:10. be still and know that I am God, right? Be still and know that I am God. What you probably don't know about that verse is this verse, in a lot of translations of the Bible, is like an imperative. It has an exclamation point at the end of it. We're all kind of like, be still and know that I am God. I can rest in that. But what he's talking about in Psalm 46, God is talking about wars and people fighting and being busy. And he says, be still and know that I am God. It's not like, be still and know that. So, I think that helps me sometimes. Like, I got to stop. I got to stop being so frantic. I got to stop moving. Stop trying so hard. And so there's a... something I want to read from C.S. Lewis, a great theologian. We all know who he is. He said this about trying to be a good Christian under your own strength, which can be the most frustrating thing if you ever tried to be a good Christian under your own strength and love people under your own power. It takes this long till you become frustrated. So C.S. Lewis says this, in the end, you will either give up trying to be good or else become one of those people who, as they say, live for others, but always in a discontented, grumbling way, always wondering why the others do not notice it more, and always making a martyr of yourself. And once you have become that, you will be a far greater pest to anyone who has to live with you than you would have been if you had remained frankly selfish. I think a lot of us can relate to that. When we try so hard and we see people are not noticing the love we're trying to give them, we become frustrated. We feel like, why is not anyone noticing? I mean, I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to you all. I mean, I struggle with this. I think we all do. Why do we try so hard? And what is our problem? What's a better way? And I think my suggestion is that we have to transition from love being a verb to love being a noun, if that makes sense. Love is not something that we do. Love is something that we are. And when you become love, you can't help but love other people. And that's just as hard as trying to love people, but becoming love is the easier pathway. Trust me on this. And I think you'll see in 1 John chapter 4 how we can get there. So if you want to turn to your Bibles, I'm not going to use the verses on the screen. So if you want to just listen to me, or if you have your Bibles or a Bible app or something, I think there's some Bibles in the pews. We're going to park on these verses for a little while, so it would be a good opportunity to get your Bible out and learn a few things this morning. So there's three sections, and I like to give little handouts, so you see that in your bulletin. We're going to follow along with that, so you can take this home and hopefully study it this week a little bit. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. I like 1 John. John's letters are a little bit later on in his life, and he's a little bit more mature in his look at Jesus and look at Jesus' teaching. And at the 1 John, I think, really demonstrates that a lot. He says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us." So this is, the foundational foundational verses for how we can live into God's love. I think the verse that you want to remember is God is love, verse 8. God is love. And so everything he does is because he is love. He can only demonstrate love because he is love. The characters and qualities of God really transcribe into our characters and qualities because we're adopted, we're children of God. His qualities, his characteristics become in us. And so that's the first step. We have to recognize that God is the love. He's the origin and source of this love. And when God lives in us, we can love others. So he is the source of the love. He is the foundation. He is the purpose for us to be able to demonstrate love to other people. So if you want to pay attention to anything, I think, you know, these are the verses you want to pay attention to, is verses 13 through 16, because then this is how you can become love to other people. In verses 13 through 16, God says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us." God is love. Those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. So you know, in the scriptures, if God says something more than once, he thinks it's kind of important. You know, I think he says love quite a few times in these scriptures, obviously. What's another word he says in here is abide. Abide is the key to becoming love, so we can show love to other people. Stop trying to do it under your own power and take on these steps. First step is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to us because we can't do these things under our own strength. Okay? Stop trying to be a Christian under your own power. You can't do it. You'll be frustrated. You'll become that pest that C.S. Lewis is talking about. And I can admit, I was that pest for a long time in my life, trying to be a good Christian. Here's the outline of things that God tells us to do. And I have to be frank, you know, nothing against our Catholic brothers and sisters. There's a lot of Catholicism on this island that is, if you do these things, you are a good Christian. And what happens when you stop doing those things? You start getting frustrated and you get disheartened, and a lot of people fall away from their faith. Okay? You can't be a Christian under your own power. Understand that? So how do we become Christians? This word abide is the key. First of all, we take the Holy Spirit. Second, we confess Jesus as Christ, or back and forth, but we are all in this room, hopefully Christians. If you're not, your first step is to confess Jesus as Christ and your Lord and Savior, and then receive the Holy Spirit. And then what happens is God now abides in you. John tells us that God abides in us. Okay, this word abide sometimes can be tricky as well. It's not something we use commonly. I'm going to go home and abide in my living room this afternoon, you know, and watch TV. I don't know what that really means. So people sometimes lose this understanding of language. So I've mentioned before, if you do not have a 1828 copy of the Webster Dictionary at home, you should get one, okay? You think I'm laughing? You think it's funny? It is kind of funny, but if you don't have one, I recommend you get one, because Noah Webster is a Christian. I mentioned this last time. You may not remember. Every one of his definitions in his 1828 dictionary of the Bible has references to Scripture. Every one of them. Okay? And now, you know, we've gone down the road so far, we don't even know what words mean anymore. Noah Webster was very clear about what he meant when he said abide. Let me tell you some of the things that Noah Webster said with scripture references about abide. He says, this is from a Russian word, actually. It means to dwell, rest, continue, stand firm, or be stationary for any time indefinitely. Okay? It doesn't mean you abide in Jesus on Sunday morning in this service. You don't abide on him when you're driving to work and some praying so you don't get mad at people. You don't abide in him when you're in the grocery store line and the person's going really slow in front of you. You abide in him indefinitely. I think everybody knows what that word means, right? Indefinitely. There's no end. There's no beginning. There's no end. There's no circumstances where you don't abide in Jesus. I'll say that again. Dwell, rest, continue, stand firm, be stationary for any time indefinitely. Okay? So Jesus has already done that to us. He's already offered that. If you've accepted Jesus, he has offered to you that he's going to dwell with you indefinitely. Okay? We're the problem. We're not doing that on our part of the deal. We're not indefinitely dwelling with Jesus. Here's some more definitions. To continue permanently or in the same state, to be firm or immovable. Webster references Psalm 69, I think, in that. To remain, no, Psalm 119. To remain to continue, he references Acts and Ecclesiastes. So if you don't have an 1828 copy of the Noah Webster Dictionary, you should get one. They're available online at christianbook.com for like $70. Okay? So you should get one because it will help you kind of sort through the world's definitions of things which don't make sense to us sometimes. They have too much secular meaning in them. They're not grounded in Scripture. They're not grounded in Christian living. Noah Webster is a great resource for that. He's not inspired Scripture, obviously, but he has a heart for God, and God abided in him when he wrote his dictionary. So those are things we have to be continue permanently for any time, indefinitely abide with God. You understand that? Okay. So if you're not doing that, you have to ask yourself, what's keeping me from that? What's distracting you from that? What in this world is keeping you from abiding? I can guarantee it's worldly things. You know, we're not distracted from abiding in Jesus because we're busy reading our Bibles, you know, or listening to Christian music or watching Christian TV shows and things like that, or doing Christian activities, or, you know, the things that God asks us to do. We're distracted by the world. We're distracted by the enemy. Satan wants to distract us from being able to do this. So, you got your first couple steps. The foundation is Jesus. God is love. The source is the Holy Spirit. We abide in God. And so what is the result? The result is really cool. So it's verses 17 through 21. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters. So see what happens when you abide in God? You become bold, you become fearless, you defend him at all costs. You're not afraid of relationships. You're not afraid to go to the grocery store and have someone irritate you because they're not going to irritate you, you know, because you love everybody, because you can't help it. You are love. Okay? How are we known as Christians? We're known by our fruit. Love is the fruit. Love is the doing thing. The first thing that happens is we become love. Does that make sense? We have to become a love tree, I guess, because then the fruit we give out is love. Okay? So we are bold, we're fearless, we become love to others. I'm sure no one in this room has ever had a negative thought about their Christian brothers and sisters ever in their lives, okay? At least today, maybe yesterday. But, you know, when we do that, we're liars. And you have to ask yourself, how can we say we abide in God and Jesus is abiding in us if we have negative thoughts about our Christian brothers and sisters? I mean, God does not like that. He does not tolerate that. Okay? So I have to just say, you know, as we get to the end here, and I've said before with, you know, the outlines that I give, it's a blessing and a curse because people know when they have to pay attention because we're almost to the end. Or, you know, they're like, ooh, he's almost done, so we can keep, you know, we can stay awake. But I want to say this as we get to the end. I want you to stop trying to be good. You can't do it. Stop trying to be good. Just let God abide in you. Let him live in you. Stop doing those things that are distracting you from the world. Stop seeking worldly things. Stop watching worldly television shows. Stop listening to worldly podcasts. You know, whatever you do, that's a distraction. You know, start abiding in God all the time. Trying to live the Christian life under your own strength is the most frustrating thing that you can do. I want to tell you what C.S. Lewis said when he finished up a little bit of this thought. This was in Mere Christianity when he was talking about, you know, us trying to be good Christians. We talk about you being a pest when you try to be a good Christian. Just stop doing that. Don't do that anymore. But Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and just so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. Hand over the whole natural self, all the things you think are innocent, as well as the ones you think are wicked, the whole outfit. I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own will shall become yours. Are you ready? Are you ready to give up yourself? I mean, what God's saying is he doesn't want just a revised portion of yourself or a little bit of this. He wants to kill everything that you have that's your natural inclination. He wants to kill the natural self and replace it with his own will, with his own self. That's the only way you can abide in him. If you hold on to even just this much of your natural self, you're going to fail. Just give it up. Stop trying to be a good Christian. And you know how you can do it? Recognize love is a noun. Love is something you become, not something that you try to show to others on your own strength. When you do that, they will know who you are by the fruit that you give off. Let's pray. Gracious God, may we just lift this time up to you, this congregation, these people here today, and anyone that may hear this message later on in life or whatever they're seeking. I just ask that you just free us from our exhaustion right now. Free us from the struggles that we have in life. Free us from our desires to try to be good Christians. Just take it. Take it away from us. Take away that need to impress others or show people how good we are or to meet a set of rules and regulations or a checklist every day. Just take it all. All the things we think are good, all the things we think are bad, just kill it. Kill it and replace it with your will, with your spirit, so that we can become love to other people by being love and abiding with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.